We began this word last week, if you remember, for Mother's Day. And this is really, it's a Mother's Day message, but it doesn't just apply to Mother's Day. And so I want to remind you guys of the handkerchiefs that you got last Sunday. Don't forget what they were really for, all right? So we don't mind, we want the ladies to keep one, but make sure to pass those around to anybody that needs it. And if there's someone sick and they need the power of God to touch them, you make sure to get that to them. Now, so we got started talking about Mother's Day and, of course, celebrating all the moms last Sunday. But also the idea, we want to make sure that you understand this idea of birth. God is such a genius. The same way physically that birth happens, there are some things that are involved with that. And the same way that happens, in a sense, is the same way that spiritual birth happens as well. And we talked about last week about the fact that nobody got here by themselves. Would you agree? I think except with the exception of two or three people, everybody in here said that at some point they were born. We had a few, I think they were hatched. I think that's what it was. But you did not get here by yourself. Somebody had to birth you. Amen? Now, I'm talking physically and I'm talking spiritually. All right? Somebody had to put the word in you. Somebody had to speak to you, had to give truth to you, and you had to receive that, and as a result of that, you were born again. And so I want to encourage you to understand that you were not born again just so that you could make it to heaven, but you were born again for that, but also that you could have a living, true relationship with Jesus, and you could also birth as many kingdom babies as possible, all right? And it's important that you realize that is our number one thing that we want to do, and Jesus has made that possible. We talked about that there are some things that have to be there in order for birth to happen, and I want to talk about those things today. And if you don't know, like even after this message, if you're not clear about what it takes, then ask a mother, ask a mom, all right, who's given birth. They can tell you all about it, all right? So number one, it involves relationship. There has to be a relationship in order for something to be birthed. And that means that, again, whether that's physically or whether that's spiritually, there had to be another person involved. And here's the thing that I know. Angels do not preach the gospel. That's our job. Even Jesus doesn't preach the gospel anymore. He sends us to do that. Now, he does it in the sense that we are his body, right? We are his mouthpiece. We are his hands and we are his feet. But anything he does on this earth today, he does through you and me. That's why it's so important for us to understand that we need to stop asking Jesus to do something he told us to do. When he told his disciples to go out and heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils and heal incurable diseases like leprosy, he didn't say, I want you to go find them and then bring them back to me. He said, no, you just go do it. I'm authorizing you. What allows us to do these things is we've already been authorized by him to do it. All right? In other words, in this sense, where we go, he's already there. So we don't have to ask him to do it. We just stand in his authority and we do it. And so it involves relationship. That whole process of being a mother, of giving birth, is about relationship. It happens as a result of relationship. Now, because of the way God made us, we can't give birth by ourselves. If you want to accomplish anything great in the kingdom of God, or if you just want to accomplish anything great in life, you cannot do it by yourself. You know, if you were to ask the greatest athletes, usually when they've won some kind of great award, or maybe it's someone that's in music or movies or something else where they're being awarded, they're always going to say, I want to thank this person and thank that person and thank that person. And they almost always say, especially athletes, that, you know, they're 7 foot tall, their mama's about 5 foot tall, and they say, I just want to thank my mama, right? Almost always, because they understand they didn't get here by themselves. And none of us can do what we do by ourselves, because God, that's why the church exists, right? I often say there are no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. We need each other. And so it was not by mistake that God placed these two guidelines for living at the top of the list of guidelines to live by. Now, Mark chapter 12, verse 29 through 31. The most important one, Jesus answered, because he was asked, what's the most important commandment? And he said, the most important one, Jesus answered, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And so, you know, the theme of our church has been, from the beginning, loving God and loving people. Because if you're not loving God and loving people, you're not doing anything in this world. Yeah, I mean, you're existing, you're breathing the air, you're eating the food maybe, you know, experiencing some pleasures, but you're not doing anything for eternity. So it was all about relationship. This life is all about relationship. So, and I want to tell you, it's dangerous, and I've said this many times, it's dangerous to isolate yourself. It's dangerous. You know, I talked about this last, we lost a young man I love very, very dearly, who isolated himself, and it gave the enemy an opportunity to wreak havoc with him. The lion and the wolf, those animals that are represented, you know, the enemy is represented by the lion and the wolf. Why? Because they are masters at isolating. They love to isolate, and they always look for the weak. They look for the wounded. They look for the young. And if they can isolate them, they're going to eat them alive, right? Anytime you start feeling the desire to just isolate, be careful, beware. It's a dangerous place to be. It's why God created the church, all right? Giving birth, for instance, we'll use this example, a dream or a vision. Giving birth to a dream or a vision must involve a relationship with the source of that dream. There must be a relationship with the father of that dream or that vision. I've often said, I know a lot of preachers will stand behind pulpits and say, God wants to fulfill your dreams. And I often say, no, he doesn't. He wants to fulfill his dream for you, because he's got to be the author of the dream. Now, when you know his dream for you, man, go for it. And then stand on his word to see that thing fulfilled. But a lot of times when people say they have a dream for themselves, it's usually based in some kind of selfishness, some kind of, you know, all about them kind of thing. So God is the one that planted the seed of that dream within your heart, though. And so why don't you tell your neighbor, you should be expecting something today. And it should be expecting something good. See, I want to encourage you not to raise this vision alone, by the way. Get your relationship with the father of your vision or your dream in right standing. Don't exclude him. But we also must consider what makes men and women great. And so true greatness comes not from contributing to our own lives, but true greatness comes from contributing to the lives of others. Jesus instructed us to love our neighbors because true greatness comes from serving others. You see, giving birth requires commitment to an ongoing relationship with a family. See, how many of you know it's not good to give birth, and this is one of the reasons we say discipleship is so important. It's not good to give birth and then abandon the baby. You want to make sure that baby is protected. You want to make sure that baby is taken care of, right? Even the world understands that. So in the same way, spiritually speaking, we don't want to just give birth and then abandon the baby. We want them to become disciples of Jesus Christ. And it takes commitment to do that. And it takes time to do that. It's the whole reason we're here. Matthew 20:26 says, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." So again, it takes a lot. It takes commitment. Any mom can tell you that, you know, babies, they take time. I mean, they literally are dependent upon you. But it involves relationship. and we all need each other. Now, again, if you don't understand all that, ask a mom about it. Number two, it requires selflessness. Can some of the moms say amen? It requires selflessness. A teacher asked a little boy this question one day. He said, suppose your mother baked a pie and there were seven of you and your parents, five children, that makes seven. What part of the pie would you get? And the little boy said, a sixth. And the teacher said, well, I'm afraid you don't know your fractions. Remember, there are seven of you, you know, not six of you. Yes, teacher, said the boy, but you don't know my mother. And he went on to say, she would say she didn't want any pie so that we could all have a little bit bigger piece. She would say, I want to make sure that everybody else is taken care of first. And I want to tell you, I talked about that last week. I've seen that in my mom. I've seen her demonstrate that over and over again. I've seen that in my wife over and over and over again. So this is one of the greatest traits of mothers. Well, where does that come from? It comes from the heart of God. The heart of a mother is a heart to give themselves to something or to someone else. The Lord placed his heart in all of us. It's his heart. You know, we have some birds that like to nest in our yard. And now my mind's going blank on what kind of bird it is, but they nest in our yard, and they'll make a little nest with their eggs, and they'll kind of make a little protective area for the little eggs. Killdees. They'll make these little protective areas. And if you get anywhere close, that mother will literally, she will sacrifice herself for them eggs. She will try to draw you away from them eggs. She'll put herself out there so that you will chase her and leave the babies alone. There's a selfless, I mean, God put that in. He put it in creation. Isn't that amazing? And so he put that heart in us. It's what brought him all the way from glory to earth. It's what took him to the cross, and it's what took him to the grave and back. I mean, God demonstrated that same kind of selflessness. He demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, what did he do? Christ died for us. Not because we deserved it, because none of us did. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I want to ask you today, who are you living for? Who are you living for? People who are not willing to make sacrifice for the sake of others do not have the love of God in their heart. All right? So you're going to have to live for something else other than self. You may ask, well, will that be fulfilling to me? Well, I have a You know, you might say, I have a lot of deep-rooted needs in my life, and I can't be worried about somebody else because I have all these other needs. I've learned this secret, that whenever you're in need, the best thing you can do is bless somebody. I tell people, that if you have a specific thing you're dealing with in your body, a specific sickness or whatever, pain, whatever, go find somebody with the same thing and lay your hands on them and pray for them, because the same anointing that they need's got to go through you to get to them. And we've had it happen here. We've had it happen many times right here at this altar, where people will come up to lay hands and pray for somebody else and they themselves be healed. We've had it happen over and over again. So, of course, we all have a lot of needs. But if we'll live in an unselfish way, we're taking on the heart of God. And we see that demonstrated in the moms again. So let's look at number three. It's also going to require perseverance. You may have noticed that childbirth involves a thing called pregnancy, right? And at some naive point in our lives, we might have thought that a stork flew in and you know, presto, right? There was a baby. And then we grew up, we found out that that's not true. By the way, we have a bunch of storks that hang out in the field next to our house. And every year when they start showing up, I'm like, whew. But we're about to get a bunch of babies now. It's about to happen. But listen, you got to carry that baby around for a while before you actually get to enjoy it. If you've ever had a child, you understand that's a long time while it's happening. But then once the baby's here, it doesn't seem like it was near as long, right? And so everybody handles this period differently. Sometimes I find it funny because as soon as an expectant mother, you know, finds out, you know, they take the test, and as soon as they find out, they'll begin maybe waddling that day, you know. As soon as they know, all of a sudden, they're walking like a pregnant woman. And then you have others, like, they'll be 6 months pregnant, and then you find out they're pregnant, and you go, what? I didn't know you were pregnant, you know, right? So the fact of the matter is, This is a waiting period. God designed that in. How many of you know that God could have caused babies to come forth in a day if he wanted to? But he designed it because there's a period. And I don't know why 9 months. God knows. I'm sure there's some spiritual significance to it. But I know this, it's a waiting period. And I know this, that there's some discomfort involved in it. And so you don't try to take shortcuts, because if you were to try to take a shortcut and birth a baby before it's time for the baby to be birthed, it's certainly not good for the baby. I mean, it literally could cost the baby's life. So if that baby's born before it's ready, that's why they do their very best to try to get you pretty much to full term before birthing that baby. And so that was one of the issues with my mom. I told you guys, you know, my story. My mom had been hemorrhaging. And the doctors didn't think there was any way possible that she'd be able to get me to full term. And I was born premature, and they had to, you know, do emergency C-section for me to be born. But that's why the doctor encouraged her, told her, you need to abort this child. He did not think that she or I was going to live through it. And the whole reason was because he didn't think she'd be able to carry me long enough without it killing her and me both. So if your baby is born too early, it's not good. So you have to hang in there. And it's just like anything in life, success doesn't happen overnight. Anything worth having is worth waiting for. And if there's anything that childbirth teaches us, it's that good things come from long processes in our lives. I can remember poor Micah, you know, when he was born. I remember thinking, Lord, I just don't know. I mean, I don't know if I can love another kid. Like, I mean, I don't know if there's enough there, you know. I remember thinking that, and which was a weird thought for me. But I remember thinking that. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. I mean, it was amazing. When he was born, once he was born, there was just such a love. It's like God just filled my heart with love, just like he did for all the other kids, right? It's amazing how that works. But listen, good things come from long processes in our lives, and you have to be careful not to try to rush things. And in your spiritual walk, you got to understand the same thing. God may show you something. He may give you a vision or a dream. It may even be a prophetic word that someone speaks over your life. But just because it's given to you doesn't mean it's about to happen. Sometimes it takes years and years and years. I told a story about the time when I was in Bible college, and we had gone to this service at a church. I didn't attend, but just a bunch of us from the college went to this church, and this guy was speaking, and they had a very prophetic ministry, he and his wife, and he starts pointing out people, and I call it reading your mail, all right? Now, I'm not talking about this fake stuff, because there's people that fake that stuff. But this guy, there's no way he could have known anything about us. Nobody's given their names and phone numbers and emails and all of that stuff walking in the door. This is just old-fashioned power of God, Spirit of God moving in a service. And he begins to call people out and just say things about them that there's no way he could have possibly known. And I'm not talking about like their addresses and their phone numbers and all. I'm talking about stuff in their childhood, things about them that were very unique to them. And he's telling them all this stuff. And I remember sitting there thinking, my goodness, this is so accurate. And then he points at me and he says, and God wants to use you in film. And I'm thinking, film? And so I'm starting to look around. I'm thinking, who is he talking to? And he goes, no, I'm pointing to you. I'm talking to you. And I said, me? He said, yeah, you. God wants to use you in film. And it's going to make a difference in some people's lives as you obey. And I remember thinking, wow, this guy was so accurate. And then it made no sense to me. 16 years later. Because I'm thinking, I remember having that thought right then. I'm not interested in film. I was interested in music. I write music and that kind of said, I'm interested in that. And he's 16 years later, I'm talking to a guy who has a very prophetic gifting. And I said, man, something happened. It seems like I can't lose it. It's stuck to me. And this guy prophesied this over me about I would be involved in film. And it never made any sense. It still makes no sense today, but I can't forget it. I just kind of put it on the shelf, but I can't forget it. And he says, well, you don't know. He said, you may get a phone call this week that makes it all make sense. I was like, well, that'd be cool. I'm not lying when I tell you this. 2 days later, I get a phone call. These people are making a documentary about homelessness. And they said, we've been praying about it. We believe the Lord showed us you're supposed to write the song for it, the theme song. And I said, really? All of a sudden, it's like the light switch went on, and it dawned on me. Films have to have music scores. They have to have, you know, theme songs, those kind of things. So I sat down. The Lord gave me the song. I know the Lord gave it to me. I wrote it, had it recorded, professionally mastered, all that kind of stuff, sent it to them. They made a documentary called The Invisible People. And that thing won a Telly Award at the New York Film Festival and the Los Angeles Film Festival. I'd have never guessed that that could ever possibly happen. But 16 years before, I get this crazy prophetic word that doesn't make sense, right? But when it happened, it happened, and then it all made sense, right? And so I said that to say, don't get in a hurry. Don't put the cart before the horse. That maybe you have a dream or a vision or something you believe God wants you to do. Don't try to force something. Follow the leading of the Lord and let him open the doors that need to be open. All right? Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not faint or do not lose heart. All right? So what is that saying? Some things take a while. Again, I say this all the time. Poor Brother Ronnie's going to get tired of me talking about him. 24 years being crippled, and yet then the Lord manifest his power. But standing for 24 years, and I think about those in the scripture who for years and years and years are waiting, and then there it is, you know. And here he is, I mean, a different man because God touches him after 24 years of being crippled. I mean, that's astounding to me. But that, understand, good things are worth waiting for. And don't get discouraged. Don't give up. You keep pressing in, you keep pressing on. Amen? So I want to thank some of you that work really hard around here, by the way, because some people have been working very hard around here for many, many years, and the whole purpose of it is to see fruit, to see some fruit of the labor for the kingdom of God. And I want to thank you for doing that, because we wouldn't be here without you. There's a lot of people that serve in a lot of different ways. So some of you have stuck through this church through some very difficult times. Sometimes it was really hard, but yet you're here. Thank you for being faithful. I wish I could give people a shortcut, but again, the best things in life don't come with a shortcut. You just have to keep going. Birth is a process, and giving birth to something requires perseverance. But the Lord promises us that we will not reap if we don't give up. Amen? Will it be worth it? Again, ask a mom. They'll tell you. Number four, it can bring some great pain. Can I get an amen on that one? Man, again, I can remember being in the hospital, and I was kind of freaking out a little bit because Cindy's giving birth, and there was three or four ladies, and the nurse kept opening our door, and I kept going back and closing it because there's three or four ladies, I kid you not, sounded like chimpanzees screaming or something. And it wouldn't stop, and I'm already nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. I mean, I'm trying, I'm rubbing her arm. She said I about rubbed a bruise on her arm, but I'm trying to comfort her, and I'm hearing all that screaming, and I'm like, oh, God, what am I in for here? Anyway, there's pain involved. You know, this wasn't always a part of the childbirth process, but it became a part after the fall. And it was part of the curse. And now here's the good news, lady. If you can believe it. I do believe that you can give birth in a way that's not painful like that. Some people might think I'm crazy by saying that. But if you're under the blood of Jesus, you're no longer under the curse. So you don't have to expect it to be a horrible thing. Amen? So anyway, some people would argue with me about that. But understand, we don't live in a perfect world. It's a world where we will experience pain. We will experience things that are unpleasant. And the truth of the matter is this. The first mention of pain in the Bible is in the context of giving birth. So regardless of what you're trying to bring forth, there's going to be some pain involved. All right? Look, I was talking, Brother Ross and I were talking this morning, just talking about understanding how blessed we are, because there's Christians all around this world right now who are suffering horrifically. Now, we're griping about having to pay too much for gas, and like the world's falling apart, yet there are people who are under the threat of getting their heads cut off constantly. There are women and children who are being mistreated so horribly, I can't even mention what's happening to them from the pulpit. There are things happening because they name the name of Christ all over this world. There's a lot of pain involved, but because they're willing to stand through the pain, they're going to experience something wonderful on the other side. So it varies from person to person and baby to baby, and there are all kinds of things that we can do now that make it a little bit easier. Again, you know, there's C-sections happen, there's epidurals, there's things like that on a natural level. But spiritually speaking, when you're giving birth to something big, usually the process is more intense. I remember years ago, and I hope this helps somebody, years ago we were going through something very, very hard, very hard. We didn't understand it. It felt so unfair. We actually were being accused of something that wasn't true and early on in our ministry. And it was so painful, and we felt so betrayed and so hurt through all that and just wanted to quit in the midst of all of that. And I said, Lord, why? Why? Because my thoughts were, you know, why would you let us go through this? Why? And this is what he told me. I'll never forget it. He said, when I want to do an intense work through a person, I have to first do an intense work in a person. And you have to experience some things that you can't explain. You have to experience some things that are not fair. And there's no way to explain them away. But you have to trust me in the midst of it. And I want to tell you something. You going through something intense, it's only because God wants to do something intense through you. Please receive that. Listen, some of you in this room are destined for greatness, whatever that greatness is. I personally define greatness as one who fulfills what God has for them in life. That only eternity is going to tell the lasting impact of our lives. How do I know this? Because you have some now even experiencing some great pain. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 13, it says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering as though something strange were happening to you. Can you believe that's in the scripture? In other words, don't think you're the only one. Don't feel like this is strange. Don't feel like this isn't common. He says, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Rejoice. You know, when his glory was revealed in Brother Ronnie's life, we all rejoiced. Because we all saw him walking in here all crippled up in pain. Just a grouchy, ornery old fella too. Just kidding about that part. But we all rejoiced as a body as we saw what God did to his body. It was incredible. So, you know, you might ask, why in the world would I even start this journey if I knew I was going to get hurt? Why would I want to give birth to an idea? Why would I want to give birth to a dream? Why would I want to give birth to another soul if it's going to cause me pain? Well, here's the answer. Because it's going to be worth it. Why would I want to knowingly subject myself to pain? Again, if you don't understand that, ask a mom. Ask a mom. They'll tell you. Number five, it'll bring great reward. Great reward. Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Thank God. This is the beautiful thing. Birth requires a relationship, a focus on relationship. It requires selflessness. It requires perseverance. It requires pain. But just ask your mother, is it worth it? My mama still, I'm, you know, 59 years old, and if I'm with her in public, she's going to tell people, this is my baby. This is my baby. My wife says, you got to stop telling him that because he's going to act like it, right? He already thinks he's the favorite because he's the youngest. And I say, hey, favor ain't fair. It just ain't fair. If you were to ask your mother, was it worth it? And I'm talking in general terms here. Doubtless, the answer will be yes. And why is that? Well, because you're here. Ask Jesus. Jesus will tell you, was it worth it, Jesus, for you to go through what you went through. And you know what he would say? He'd say it was absolutely worth it. It was worth it. You were worth it because you're here. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It was worth it to him, and it'll be worth it to you when you allow God to bring you through this birthing process. And listen, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, and hear me. Go make as many babies for Jesus as possible, but be willing to take responsibility as well and make sure that they don't just get abandoned. Amen? Listen, I want to encourage you today. At the same time that we're honoring our mothers last week, I want you to understand, and of course that's extended to today, and it should really be every day, but I want to ask you, what is it that God has called you to give birth to? Some people give up on it. Unfortunately, many people over the years abort the very seed that God puts in their life. That dream, that vision, that ministry, that whatever it is, that friendship, that relationship. You know, some people will abandon their jobs because of a difficult person. They don't want to work with that person any longer, and they never even bother to ask God, God, did you put me here? Because that person might be the very one that you're supposed to birth into the kingdom. But you will abort that because you're thinking of yourself. So never do anything without following the leading of the Holy Spirit, because you will regret it. So listen, it will be worth it. Will it be worth the selfless sacrifice? Help me out. Yes. Will it be worth the patient endurance that's involved? Will it be worth the pain involved? Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe some of you, I think, even now are sensing God's call upon you. He's saying, I want you to step out. I want you to trust me. Now, I'm not talking about just stepping out on a wild hair you got. I'm talking about following the leading of the Lord, that God has put something in your heart, and whatever reason, you're just letting that thing die. He's saying, I want you to trust me. I have a plan for you. There's something I'm going to bring into the world through you. Right now, the prospect of what you might have to go through might be terrifying. It may seem too hard. You may not know how to do it. Listen, I've never known how to do anything God told me to do. I just had to trust him and take the step. Even in writing that song, I didn't know what to write. I didn't know what was needed. I sat down before the Lord and said, Lord, if you want me to do this, you're going to have to give me the words and the music. He gave it to me. I gave it to the people. They said, this is absolutely perfect. This is exactly what we wanted, right? Only God can do that, right? You may feel like you're not sure you can handle it. You're not sure that you can succeed. Well, that's not a bad thing. I know I can't succeed. But I know with him, I can't fail. Amen? You're not sure if you have what it takes. Well, you don't, but he does. Maybe you don't have what it takes, but if you have a relationship with the Father, I want to tell you, you're going to be able to birth something for his kingdom, and it's going to make a difference. It's going to make an impact in somebody's lives. It's going to touch someone. It's going to bring life where there was only death, if you can trust him, if you can believe him. Don't bail out of the pregnancy. Amen? Now, here's the thing. You ain't allowed to have just one kid either, right? He wants this to be a lifestyle of birthing things, birthing people for Jesus. I believe that God wants to birth something great in your life. There's something very unique about this church, just in case you don't know. And we've said it many times, but just in case you don't know. Years ago, Pastor Cindy and I went to a meeting, and there was a lady that had a very prophetic gifting, and this was actually a gathering of pastors, and she, the Lord began to give her words for people, and so we're all standing in like this big semicircle in this particular church. And this lady is going, and she's saying, and God says to tell you that he's about to do this and do that. And a lot of them had to do with, you know, man, financial blessings are about to happen and all this. Well, at that time, I want to tell you, we didn't have two pennies to rub together. I mean, we're believing God for everything every month. And she gets to us, and I'm thinking, oh, man, we're about to get one of them words about we're going to have some finances coming our way, you know, so we can do some of the things we want to do. Because we've always had a heart for missions, and we wanted to do stuff. And she gets to us, And she don't say a single thing about money or anything like that. She says, God says to tell you, he's calling you to reach people who have never had a normal day in their life. He's sending you people who've never had a normal day in their life. And then she moved on. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding. This is all we get, right? But I've come to value that. Because God loves to take, we'll say it this way, because I'm included in this, the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He loves to take the little things and do something big with it. He loves to take that which the world may consider as valueless and put his value upon it and change people's lives forever. If you're here, I hate to have to tell you, but you're here because you ain't normal. You don't have it all together. You desperately need him. We all do. Amen. So let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for these people. Lord, I thank you that you want to do something supernatural, incredible, amazing through their lives, Lord God. You want to accomplish things that are going to bring glory and honor to you because you want your light to shine forth and you want people to come to know you. Lord, help us to be those who are willing to birth souls into the kingdom just by opening our mouth and planting the seed of your word in their hearts, Father, as we have the opportunity. Lord, those that are will start things and do things and accomplish things, Father. Lord, those that will fulfill the dream that you put within their heart, Father. Those that will not settle for what their own brain tells them and all the disqualifiers that they have in their own mind about themselves, but those who will seek you and say, Father, show me what you want me to do, and I'll be faithful and obedient to walk it out for your glory. Lord, I thank you that you're raising up a people who will love you with their whole heart, and they will love people just the same. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.